but there was just one little thing that I wanted to add to these precious thoughts that have been brought before us. Our brother emphasized the absolute necessity of affection for Christ. And our brother had brought out how we need to realize with sobriety the seriousness of these things we're talking about: doctrinal evil, moral evil, doctrinal evil, ecclesiastical associations, and heretical evil, dividing, schism making, and so on. And there's just one other little thing. If we turn to Ezekiel chapter 22, and I'm going to be very, very brief, beloved brethren, but I just wanted to leave this with you. Just a last couple of words here. This has struck me, verse 30 of Ezekiel 22. You'll know that the day that Ezekiel lived in were very, very difficult days. They were evil days. The Babylonians had come in, and they were a fierce people. And this dear man of God, along with Daniel, you know, they knew that the surroundings, they were very weak, and they had failed, and the enemy was strong. How like our day we live in right now. Dear ones, everything seemed to have collapsed. There was nothing left. Notice this verse 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Oh, you know, you just weep when you read a verse like that. The Lord looks and he looks and he looks and he looks. Is there someone that will stand in the gap? Is there someone that will stand for the truth? He looked and he found none. Now, if you just turn back to the 9th chapter, because there's a principle in the Word of God that nothing depends on man. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, sometimes we think, well, everything depends on me. Nothing depends on man. Nothing. Nothing that's important really depends on man. If it were so, all would be lost. Now I want you just to turn to the 9th chapter of Ezekiel and verse 4. "And the Lord said unto him," unto Ezekiel, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." And so the Lord, he has been looking, and he tells Ezekiel to go in. Are there any that are weighed down about this? Are there any that are sad about this? He says, mark them out. Oh, they're very precious to the Lord. And so I say to each one of us here, do we have a heart really to cling to these things that we've heard about? Do we have affection for Christ and what is due to his precious name? He died on Calvary's for us. And you know, do we go to bed at night and we just cry to the Lord that he will maintain a little testimony for his glory? Oh, I just want so much for that to be true of this poor heart of mine. And I believe if that's true of each of us, oh, how the Lord will come in. Now, I just want to turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 32. And I want to give you an example of two, I'm just going to give you two very brief examples of people that encouraged me very, very much, and I know I'll encourage you, and because they were in very, very difficult straits, very difficult situation, but they emphasized each one a different thing. It was a love. Yes, a love for Christ and what's due to him. But here is a man that loved his brethren. Love his brethren. And you know, let's just read in chapter 32, verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Oh, the Lord said, he sees everything. He measures everything. He knows the heart. He says, they're a stiff-necked people. "Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and will make of thee a great nation." Well, you would say, Moses, isn't that a wonderful thing? The Lord's going to make of thee a great nation. And he's going to wax hot against these stiff-necked, disobedient people. Now, what was Moses' response to that? Well, this really, really tells you what the man is made of, if I can put it that way. Notice what he says. It says, in verse 11, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why dost thou wax hot against thy people?" Notice he says, "thy people." He says, "which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief thee bring them out, and slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Well, isn't this a wonderful thing? You know, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. He lost patience with the people, and he failed in that. But you know, I just love to read this. He loved those people. He loved them. And the Lord said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to destroy them. Moses, oh, Lord, don't do that. You brought them out. You brought them this far. And he pled with God. Daniel does the same thing. And how wonderful it is to love the people of God. And dear ones, we really do love them. Whether you know it or not, you do love them. It's part of being born again. But it's wonderful to demonstrate it in this way. And if we just turn lastly and then finished, sorry, a little over, but in 2 Samuel chapter, I think it's chapter 23, 2 Samuel, and this is just a very short little one, and then we'll be finished. Yes, 2 Samuel 23, and it's just two verses, but I wanted to share this with you. There's a love for Christ and what's due to his name. And there's an allegiance to the truth to separate from these awful things, moral evil, doctrinal evil, ecclesiastical association, and dividing the people of God. And we want to have a love for the people of God. You know, it's more than a word. Love is an action word. For God so loved the world. That's wonderful. But what follows is even more wonderful, that he gave his only begotten son. He demonstrated his love. And so he didn't just say he had love, but he gave his only begotten son. And so here we have a man, and I'm speaking of verse 11 of 2 Samuel 23. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Haraite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. Wow, this is a difficult situation. And it says, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Now this man was left alone. Do you feel that way sometimes in the day that we're in now? And here this man was in a field of lentils, and I like to think of the lentils there. They were a precious crop. And this is like the faith that was once committed unto the saints. Earnestly content for the faith that was delivered unto the saints. And so here was this man, Shammah, and he's in the middle of this field, and all the people have fled from the Philistines. You know, the Philistines are the religious enemy. They're the ones that want to rob of the spiritual blessings of Christ that you and I have. And Satan will use them. He'll try to rob you. Well, let's be Shammahs. And notice here this dear man, it says, and the people fled from the Philistines. He's left alone. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. He had love for the Word of God. And you know, I'd like to link that with Galatians chapter 2. It was mentioned there about, our brother Ed brought about doctrinal evil, and he used that example in Galatians chapter 1 about saying you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And not only that, you needed to keep the law in order to walk for Christ. Yes, Christ did a part of the work, but we've got to do another part of the work. Oh, it's awful teaching. But you know, there was one that stood in the gap He stood there. And you know, Peter came down from Jerusalem, and dear Peter, he had stood in Acts 15, and he stood up and he preached the truth, and they listened to Peter. But you know, when James and those that were associated with him, and he heard that, and he came down, he had been eating with the Gentiles, and then he withdrew himself and said, "No, I can't." Peter failed. But there was one that loved the truth. And that was the Apostle Paul. It must have cost him so much. Here was a dear apostle, and he could see all these people. It says Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation. Dear Barnabas, his friend, was carried away. And Peter now wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And this dear man, he's there. "What will I do?" Well, like Shammah, he stood. He stood there. He says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He stood in the gap. Will you stand in the gap? That's what the Lord is saying to you and I. He says, you know, it's a terrible day. The meetings aren't the same. I remember hearing a young brother say, "Meetings aren't the same. I don't, you know, there isn't the numbers anymore. There isn't the powerful ministry anymore." Well, that may be all true and very, very true. I'm sure it is. But will you stand in the gap? Just in the day of Ezekiel, the Lord was searching for those that would stand in the gap. And he wants you to stand in the gap. In the day of difficulty, that's when the Lord will take note of it. He'll take note of it. And let it be known that if you won't stand in the gap, he'll find someone that will stand in the gap. Because he's going to keep his people to the end till he comes.